Listening Library presents Made of Stars by Jenna Voris. Read for you by Aaron Spencer. For Serena, who wished on every star and every window with me for years. Part 1. Shot in the Dark. You've read the story of Jesse James, of how he lived and died. If you're still in need of something to read, here's the story of Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie Parker, The Trail's End. Chapter 1. The young ones died first. Blood pooled between the stones and crawled across the floor with delicate phantom hands. Shane felt it sink into his bones the longer he lay in the cell. How long had it been since he tasted pure, unrecycled oxygen? Since he felt the steady weight of a weapon in his hand? His finger twitched as he imagined the shock of a rifle against his shoulder, the silent shot in the open vacuum of space. "You're not going to die here." Shane rolled over, wincing as his shoulder twisted painfully. He'd popped it back into place after the fight yesterday, but the skin was still swollen and tender. His hands ached, too. He tried not to think about why, but the memories always overcame him in the end. A pulse slowing under his fingers, the other man clawing at the floor, broken nails scratching down the dusty walls. Shane had always thought killing would be harder, that it would take a certain kind of person to wrap their hands around another's throat and squeeze until there was nothing left. But it had been over by the time the warden arrived, before the droids swarmed and the prisoners rioted. Killing was the easiest thing in the world, and Shane wasn't sorry. He exhaled, grimacing at the sharp pain in his chest. They kept it cold and solitary. Add that to the list of things these people would pay for. He'd come for them all eventually. Every officer, every warden, every droid. Everyone who funded a place like this. "You're not going to die here." Shane's last thoughts before the dark claimed him again were of his hands, pale and trembling without something to hold, and that man's vacant, lifeless stare. Chapter 2. 3 months of planning, and Ava had still managed to underestimate the cold. She shivered as she followed a masked officer through the twisting corridors of the Opian prison moon. They had made it through the first security checkpoint without so much as a whisper from the alarms, but another officer stopped her before she reached the second. He yanked her into a corner between a damp, icy wall and a security droid, and Ava had to remind herself that this was normal. As his hands closed around her waist. This was chess. This level of security was expected. Still, she had to force herself not to flinch, to focus on the camera embedded in the droid's flat metal face, and instead think about all the ways she could take this officer apart while his hands skimmed up her legs. He got as far as her left thigh before finding the protein bar tucked in her stocking. His face twisted into a mocking grin. "Not allowed." Ava tried to snatch it back, but the officer shoved it into his own pocket before giving her a pat on the back that lingered a bit too long between her shoulder blades and pushing her through the second checkpoint. The officer in front of her now wore a thick padded jacket and boots in addition to a mask across the bottom half of his face. Ava had to clench her jaw to keep her teeth from chattering as they walked. What do the prisoners wear? How many freeze to death alone in these cells? She tried not to think about what 3 months in a place like this might have done to Shane. The frigid climate on their home planet, Nakara, meant she wasn't usually cold, but Ava didn't think this chill was entirely due to temperature. The officers tried to block her view of the cells as they walked, one after the other in a shifting wall of black fabric and polished weapons, but it wasn't necessary. Ava had stopped looking after she saw a girl slumped against the rough stones, eyes half open as her fingers twitched in time to their footsteps.
Are you a friend of his?
The officer's question was too loud. Ava tensed as he looked over his shoulder, lowering her gaze to the floor. Yes. What she could see of the man's face relaxed, and satisfaction heated her bones. This was why Shane had hired her, after all. This was why she wore pretty dresses and wove moonflowers into her long dark hair and blushed at every question. Because she was a good actress, good enough to make it if she'd been born on any part of Nakara other than barren, wasted West Rama. Because she was harmless. When the officer spoke again, his voice was almost kind.
Can I give you a piece of advice?
Ava nodded as they stopped in front of a thick, steel-plated door. He could give her all the advice he wanted if he looked the other way in that room. Of course. The officer removed his glove and pressed one finger to the scanner laid into the wall.
That boy is nothing but trouble. Everyone on this moon is trouble.
Ava did smile then, and she was glad his back was turned. She ran a hand down the front of her dress, tracing the sharp edge of the pistol still tucked beneath the fabric, cold against her skin. He didn't know the first thing about trouble. When the door clicked open, she used the time it took for the officer to put his glove back on to find the cameras, one in every corner. That was fine. Jared said he'd deal with those. He should be in the system by now. She just had to buy him time. Then the officer stepped aside, and Ava's next breath caught as she locked eyes with Shane. 3 months. Had it really only been 3 months? Ava could see his ribs against the thin fabric of his prison shirt, see the way he stood with one arm pressed against his side. Too thin. They had shaved his hair, too, so only a thin buzz remained across his pale scalp. But Shane still straightened when he saw her, eyes widening in surprise, before his face split into a painful-looking grin.
Hey, baby, how's it floating?
Same voice, same confidence, same wry smile. Ava grimaced. You look like junk matter. She reached out a hand, but the officer caught her wrist before she could touch him.
That's close enough.
It took every ounce of Ava's self-control not to snap his fingers. She pretended to shrink away, hands shaking as they fell back to her sides. He didn't need to know it was from fury, not fear. Harmless. Then she heard it. A faint click. The cameras. Jared said anyone watching from the prison's control towers would see the room exactly as it had been seconds before, their images frozen in time. She had 2 minutes, but the only person Ava had to fool was the officer himself. And Shane, who hadn't been expecting her, who had no idea what she was planning, who could barely stand. Ava pushed the thought away. It didn't matter. They would make this work. She took a tentative step forward and silently begged Shane to play along. I've missed you. How are you doing? It was a stupid question. Purple bruises masked most of Shane's face, and now that she was closer, Ava could tell he was keeping the weight off his left ankle, too. She swallowed her unease and added, I tried to bring food, but they found it. She said that part loud enough for the officer to hear, to let him think the game was over. Shane's confusion only lasted a second longer. His face smoothed into an easy grin, eyes flicking toward each camera as Ava took another step.
That's fine. You were all I wanted anyway, baby.
Ava resisted the urge to roll her eyes. That was a bit much, even for him. But it worked for what she had to do next. Slowly, she lifted her hands to the front of her dress and unfastened one button. Really? She whispered. That's all you wanted? Shane blinked, color deepening on his bruised cheeks as she opened another button, then a third. Ava glanced over her shoulder to find the officer suddenly very interested in a spot on the floor. She undid another button, finally revealing the barrel of the gun stashed down the front of her dress. and Shane's expression shifted into cool understanding. This time,
sample complete. Ready to continue?